Jeff, thanks for doing this. How are you today?
Always a pleasure, Mr. Rintel. Good. Just another day in COVID-19 world and working from home and feeling healthy. So nothing to complain about over here, that's for sure.
Yeah, exact same way. Been in my basement broadcasting for about 7 months. So I feel you completely. And I know things are trending. I know things seem to be trending in a positive direction in that province when it comes to junior hockey. Do they not?
What do you mean?
Well, as far as
junior hockey?
Well, last I heard, Saskatchewan and Winnipeg were putting together what was believed to be a plan where fans might be able to attend junior hockey games when the WHL gets up and running next year, in a couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, there's some, you blurted there for a bit. It wasn't your question. It was my brain. But, absolutely. I mean, that relationship is ongoing. I mean, as is the case in every single sports organization, they're just waiting for updates. For instance, our province has had an update, or the regular update at 1 o'clock today, and they have a separate update at 2, which is about to hammer down a lot more restrictions. I don't know if anyone in your neck of the woods has been following Manitoba, but we've been trending negatively for quite some time here, and our cases are, you know, getting into the hundreds per day. We haven't eclipsed 200 yet, but I think the other day we had 173, which was a new high. We just keep on hitting new highs, so that's kind of resulted in this big announcement that everyone's waiting for it too. And there's a lot of rumors about clamping down on sporting events, whether that be adult rec hockey, but, you know, particularly when it comes to junior, there is an effort being made between Saskatchewan that has shown significantly better numbers in Manitoba to have that cross travel, and of course to see potentially fans in the stands. But, you know, we'll see what this announcement in the next 20 or so minutes brings. Might throw all that into a bit of a tizzy.
Yeah, we have been trending in the wrong direction in this province as well. There aren't talks about bigger restrictions at this time, though this province took greater restrictions earlier, and I think there is some hesitance on the part of the province to go back in that direction. But in Manitoba, you guys were never under great restrictions, were you?
Yeah, actually, not until recently. It's only been a couple weeks that we've seen this big jump in cases that we went back to a code orange, or for the first time became a code orange. In that, the reason why I said go back to is because a lot of the restaurant industry had their arms up, after they kind of eased up on some of the restrictions. Those restrictions, still remain, but they added kind of the code orange to the fact that everyone needs to wear a mask everywhere they go now. So for those people who, you know, we're putting on masks to go to certain places, but we're taking them off to go to others. Now, everywhere you go, whether it be the grocery store or anywhere, that mask mandate has been put in. So these new restrictions are just going to add on to that. There's been rumors that potentially Manitoba could go as far as dip into red. But I know the province has been particularly against that, not wanting to shut down the economy and all that stuff. So, again, we'll see what that brings. But it doesn't sound like great news.
In conversation with Jeff Hamilton of the Winnipeg Free Press this morning on Sportsnet 650, your home of Canucks hockey. Let's talk Jets hockey here. Patrick Laine's name is still out there. What do Jets fans feel would be adequate return for Patrick Laine if, in fact, he's moved?
Nothing, it seems like. It just seems like, you know, this is a guy that everybody, you know, I mean, the whole Patrick Laine story in Winnipeg is a fascinating one. From all avenues, but particularly kind of with fans. I mean, obviously when he came onto the scene, he had an awesome rookie year, and he followed that up with 40 goals in his second year, and it was like, oh, this guy is the future. And then his third year, it was kind of a letdown. You know, the goals dropped dramatically, his play was questioned, his give a crap meter was questioned. You know, he was not a two-way player, and, you know, everyone was, I think we've talked on your station before about how, you know, everyone wanted Laine out of town. You know, it was this stark turn of opinion for a young player who, you know, I don't know, you know, a lot of people would throw out there at that age where everyone wants this guy out of town, comparing him to guys like Mark Scheifele who, you know, eat and sleep hockey. Well, you know, Patrick Laine had 100 and something goals and at that point in his career, and Mark Scheifele wasn't even in the NHL. So, you know, when you kind of take it, the fans' perspective, you know, now they love Patrick Laine because last season, you know, he wasn't the, you know, the 40, 50 goal scorer that everyone imagined he'd be years into his career, but he became a better 200-foot player. So now everyone's on the side of Laine. Everyone's defending him. The numbers guys are defending him. Just in general, the population is defending him, so they don't want to see him go at all. They're extremely disappointed, and it's seeped into an opinion about Blake Wheeler, because apparently Blake Wheeler only wants to play with Mark Scheifele. And, you know, you can only, you know, Mark Scheifele can only center so many guys. So as far as a return goes, I mean, I don't think anybody wants to see him leave. But if they did see him leave, I think they want, you know, what every fan base wants is for their team to rip off the other team. So what does that look like with Patrick Laine? Well, if you're losing a guy who no doubt has potential for 40 goal seasons, I mean, we already saw that in his second year, you want scoring power back. And that's just, I don't think what the Jets are looking to do is trade a forward, you know, a potentially disgruntled forward for another forward, you know, because I don't think you're going to match maybe the potential or anyone with that kind of goal scoring potential is out there on the market. So where do you look for? You look for the right hand defenseman. You look for a guy that can be a top two defenseman in this league, and those guys don't grow on trees either. So, you know, to me, it almost seems like the only trade possibility is if you have one disgruntled player and another disgruntled player, move teams for a change of scenery. Now, a lot of things go into the mix there, where how many people have Winnipeg or how many players have Winnipeg on their no trade list. Well, we saw that with Nate Schmidt in Vegas. That was a very, very short conversation with the Winnipeg Jets. So, you know, what exactly you can get and what exactly fans want for a Patrick Laine are just probably two completely different things.
Well, and that's the hard part of all of this because, hey, I know you're not in the front office, but you see the reports come out and Laine's side hasn't asked for a trade and Winnipeg hasn't said we're definitely moving the guy, but everybody seems on the same page. Well, we know where this is likely headed. Just from a feel standpoint, does it feel like that's a recoverable situation between Laine, the organization, the city, however you want to frame it?
Absolutely. So that's the biggest difference with Jacob Trouba and Patrick Laine is that I do think it's, you know, it's possible to turn things around. I mean, with the Jacob Trouba situation, you know, he was, you know, it's similar in Laine's in that, you know, some of the early beef, if you will, was how he wasn't being utilized enough. He wasn't playing, he wasn't getting power play minutes. And you got to remember, I mean, at that point, Jacob Trouba, although a first round pick and a, you know, a promising player, was in behind both at that point Dustin Byfuglien and Tyler Myers on the right side. So he wasn't happy with that. So that started things. But the thing that I think became, you know, irreparable for him to come back was the fact that his fiance is a doctor in the United States. And that's why you started hearing all the rumors that, you know, he didn't want to go to a Canadian team and, you know, he asked for a trade out of Winnipeg. And that was just, you know, personal reasons. He knew that if his, you know, his future wife, his wife now, is going to be practicing medicine, it's going to be in the U.S., and you can't play for a Canadian team and have a wife practice in another country. So that was kind of made it impossible, and then that's when you saw him get traded. With Laine, this thing has been brewing for a long time. I mean, this has been, you know, he hasn't, you know, after that, you know, first strong 2 years, after that third season, that lull, if you will, you know, he wanted, he's been, he's voiced, his camp is voiced, rather. He's been particularly great when it comes to not getting emotional in the room and stuff like that. He's a funny guy. He's a team player. He's a little bit different in that regard that, you know, I don't think he's the one that's, you know, sitting there all mad all the time. He just wants to get paid what he feels like he deserves to get paid. And he's only going to get paid if he gets, you know, if he puts together a season that, you know, is merits him getting paid. And he's only going to be able to put that season together if he gets the, you know, the proper ice time. So, you know, it doesn't look like a team player kind of thing, but at the same time, I think if you give Patrick Laine, and that's the big argument amongst fans, is why aren't you giving this guy the opportunity? He improved last season. Why aren't you making him your first line player? And so, you know, that's where I think it's a case of if you can just kind of allow him to get what he wants, if you will, which I don't, you know, which I think the Jets are worried about, particularly Paul Maurice, is setting a precedent that if you cry and whine, if you will, behind closed doors of what you want, and that's obviously being done by Patrick Laine's representatives, his agents, you know, are we going to give in to every single, you know, agent that calls and says, well, my, you know, my client wants this, my client wants that. So it's a slippery slope for Winnipeg, but certainly, you know, when I compare it to other situations, I think this one is repairable. I think Patrick Laine, in a perfect world, you want him to work hard and you want him to be on your top line. But, you know, other people, skeptics, perhaps Paul Maurice in there too, would argue that he needs to earn that. So, you know, if he's going to supplant Blake Wheeler on that top line, you better be working as hard or even harder than Blake Wheeler is probably the minds of the Jets management right now.
We don't negotiate with triggerists, I suppose. Jeff Hamilton of the Winnipeg Free Press joining us this morning. I want to take a right turn here. We were having a discussion about the Canadian Football League earlier in the show, and I know you have a vested interest and have been covering the league for a number of years now. And the basis of the conversation wasn't, hey, provide me an answer with this right now, but whether or not this is a problem. And it has to do with the excitement level of the actual product on the field right now. I grew up watching a CFL where it seemed like there were big plays all over the place, and those seem to have diminished in number. Scoring has come down in the league at a time where almost every other league in North America has seen an uptick in scoring, an uptick in excitement. Do you consider it a problem for the Canadian Football League, one that bears looking at right now?
Ooh, of the list of problems the Canadian Football League has, I would probably put that lower on my list, but that's a problem that, you know, scoring or points and creating that excitement is something that every sports league examines every single year. I mean, you see the rules are literally put in place, whether it's the Canadian Football League or the NHL or the NFL or whatever. Rules are put in place to increase scoring, and the last thing you want to see is your league decrease in that. So is that a problem? Absolutely. I mean, you want to be able, I think a lot of people would argue that the CFL is exciting. I mean, just given the game clock and particularly at the end of each halves and how things slow down, there really is potential for anything to happen, particularly big comebacks as we've seen over the years. But at the same time, you want to make sure that your product is as good as possible. But as far as the Canadian Football League goes, I mean, there's a lot more problems to be worrying about right now. And, you know, whether it's trying to figure out a plan to play within this new normal of COVID and you know, and all the other things that go along with that, player contracts, teams, you know, right now chopping down their football operations caps and letting people go and furloughing people. It's just, you know, it's an absolute mess. So certainly the, you know, of importance is product of the game, but right now it's having a game in general, I think, is probably top of mind.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And Arash Madani said the same thing when I put it to him earlier. And I don't want to frame it as, hey, this is what's wrong with the Canadian Football League, and if you fix the product, they'll fill up the stadiums as long as they're able to do so in a COVID-19 environment. I don't want to frame it like that at all. But the argument for a very long time has been, you know what, the product is perfectly fine. It's just the management of the game. And while I do think the financial picture and the management of the league is a bigger issue, I think it would be foolhardy right now to see decreasing scoring, a game that many see as lacking sustained drives on offense and therefore diverting attention elsewhere. I think it would be a mistake to say, we don't need to change anything here. Our product is perfect. This is a time when they need to be considering everything in this league.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what I think troubles me a little bit with this league, is that, you know, you hear things like, you know, they're working hard and they're coming up with different ways to do things, and then when you look at this last, you know, this their attempts at this season, it was just like, it was just a waiting game. It was just trying to figure things out. So, you know, it's an interesting conversation for sure, and I definitely understand why that's important, why you're asking that question, because absolutely, I mean, if you're trending down in scoring, you do potentially lose eyeballs. And again, that's an important thing, not just for the CFL, but for all leagues. And so at this point in time, I mean, that's why I think you need to think the game a bit differently. You have an opportunity right now to reevaluate everything, whether it's the finances of the league, whether it's, you know, the salary caps, whether it be with coaches and football operations or players, how much you're paying players. You know, you got a guy over there who pretty much did absolutely nothing last year and got paid more than anybody else in the Canadian Football League. So, you know, at the end of the day, you do need to look at everything, and, you know, you have to think, or at least you have to hope, that the Canadian Football League, you know, is noticing these trends and is trying to improve them, because, you know, I'd be curious on how you did that. I mean, does that coincide with what I think is almost a changing of the guard, if you will, at quarterback, new guys kind of coming in? Is that the difference? What can you do to make sure that when people go to games, they're excited when they watch them? So scoring is obviously an important part of that, and certainly something that they should be looking into this offseason
And you know what? And one of those conversations, Jeff, and you and I know it's a taboo thing to talk about, but it needs to be talked about because everything should be on the table right now, the ratio.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, and the ratio to me isn't just so much of bringing in the ratio. The problem with the ratio isn't just about a talent level. You know, and people make the arguments, well, Canadians are just as good as Americans. And it's just not true. You know, I'm not saying some Canadians aren't as good of Americans or even better than some Americans. You know, we've seen guys like Andrew Harris thrive in this league. We've seen other Canadians obviously thrive in this league and continue to thrive in this league. But, you know, a lot of the talent comes from the American players and, you know, that product, right? I mean, you see guys, the ratio is beyond just that increase in talent. It's created you know, a little bit of many issues as far as how you pay players. I mean, Canadian offensive linemen for years have been getting way overpaid, you know, for what reason? Because they fit within the ratio. Their value is determined by their passport. Now, obviously, you have a ton of traditionalists. And I think this is the issue here is that, you know, obviously, as you know, Scott, I mean, there's people here that if you change the ratio by one, you know, like, that's it. You know, like, that's the last straw. This is, if anything, they'd want it to go the other direction, make it more Canadian. So I wonder, when it comes down to the ratio of all the problems that exist with it, you know, I wonder, you know, how much you would increase as far as viewership or fans, you know, from other people, some people who maybe weren't interested in the Canadian Football League before, compared to how many you would potentially lose from, as we know, people who follow the league or have followed the league. If you've been to a Grey Cup, you've seen it, you know, it's generations. So these people have been following it for decades and decades, and I wonder what the fall-off would be if you start making it more American and less Canadian.
Well, and it's taboo because if you bring it up, it sounds like you're trying to tear down football in this country or that you don't think Canadians compete. And it's not that at all. Man, that was a dream I had growing up. That's a position I wanted to be in one day, never got there, of course. But this is a conversation that needs to be had. It's not a, hey, you're on one side of this or the other. Let's just talk about these things, and we'll do it on a future program as well. FRC President, the Football Reporters of Canada President, Jeff Hamilton with the Winnipeg Free Press. Thank you very much for your time. Have a great weekend, sir.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, and you're right. These topics, you could spend hours chatting, and I know we have off air. So, you know, I appreciate the time and hope everything's going well for you guys, and thanks for having me on.